been murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, I don't know if I really want to do this show after absolutely terrible Ravens-Browns game we saw on Sunday. I mean, last week we go on a Browns podcast with some Irishmen, and we talk up our team, we give our predictions, we think this is going to be a win, and then the Ravens come out, lay an egg, look terrible. I just terrible game to watch. That's why halfway through the game I went bowling the place I was at. But
what?
Joining me what? As always, yeah.
You did no, back this track up.
All
you
right.
Did what?
So there's this new place down the ocean, in Ocean City.
Down the ocean, hon. We're so Baltimore.
This place is called Alley Oops, and it's on 130th, I believe, and it's an arcade restaurant.
You were down in Ocean City?
Oh, yeah, I was. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought so. I thought that happens in Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that does, too, but, you know,
live there.
I got my own place, so I
don't
like
you
to
live
go
there.
I moved from
Baltimore to Ocean City. That's why we do the podcasting apart, right? Then you tell the folks you moved to Ocean City. Dude, you're a resident, whether you like it or not.
I want to be 100%. You know?
I know you do. You want to live there year-round.
If I could find full-time work there, I would be there right now.
Well, anybody out there, can we help Brandon get a job down in Ocean City?
If you want me to podcast or edit a video for you in Ocean City, Maryland, I'm the guy. Call me. I don't know if you saw the news. This past weekend in Ocean City was utter chaos. There was a purge that went on from the H2O.
Purge? Isn't that like the movie?
Yeah. Yeah. It was lawlessness.
You had like people and 24 hours of lawlessness.
Yes.
And you locked the doors.
It was 100% lawlessness. That's why I was down there making sure nobody messed with my condo. Luckily, no one did. But I'll tell you how old I was on Saturday, because I knew Saturday night was just going to be utter chaos in the streets. I went to dinner at 4 p.m.
I'm laughing, but I don't blame you. It sucks. It's just like, it's just how old you are. Now, I think it's how cautious you got to be, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, people
are falling asleep at like 8 o'clock watching DVR on a weeknight because I can't keep awake.
Yeah,
I'm fine. But
that's where we're at now, man. I mean, we're old guys in our 30s. So
remember, we used to go out and it was like, you know, getting ready for the bar and stuff. I mean, obviously, it was back in my drinking days. I'm sober now. But, like, remember how we always get ready at, like, 10, 10:30 at night and they're nice young. Now it's, like, 10:30. You're like, what?
I'm about to go to bed.
No. I'm like, no. I got to work in, like, 5 hours. Like, no. Like, it's just – the times change, man. It just – when you get older, you just realize that. Like, wow. But that is pretty crazy, man. So you went to dinner at 4. You went bowling during the game. Well, I mean, bowling. Did you at least, like, bowl better than the team played?
Oh, 100% I did. I won.
Okay.
I won.
Won at least on Sunday. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I was up against two other people, and I came out on top, number one. I'm not going to tell you. I didn't get that many strikes, but still, I was able to win. But if you're ever in Ocean City, Alley Oops, it's a great place to watch a game, good place to take your kids, because there's an arcade, claw machines, that kind of stuff. But they have, I think it's 6 lanes for duck pin bowling. And at the end of each lane, at the end of each lane is a giant screen so you can watch whatever game is on at the time. So I'm sure they would play a Capitals game. I'm sure they would play an Orioles game in the summer. And they have the Ravens game on this time with sound. So halfway through the game, I was like, man, I don't know if I want to continue to watch this. So I got up and we bowled a little bit, which was fun. And then we go back to the tables and get just depressed to see the final score of this game. I mean, I predicted 17-10. I don't think I could be more wrong.
I got 40. 40-25, I was spot on. Go back and play the tape. 40-25 Browns, I called it.
Who is this defense? Yeah. Because the Ravens were supposed to have a defense. We talked all about how impressed we were, and the defense doesn't show up on Sunday, completely craps the bed. What happened, dude? I mean, what is going on here? I understand Brandon Williams was a late inactive on Sunday. We don't have Jimmy Smith, but what about everybody else? Where was everybody else on Sunday?
I don't know. I'm still trying to answer that question. Everybody keeps asking me, including yourself. I'm still baffled by what that embarrassing display was. I mean, you had to feel good about the game even heading into this. I mean, right, you know, yeah, the Ravens were within arm's distance of beating the Chiefs on the road. Come home against a divisional opponent. You know, they're a game behind you right now. You know, let's you know, flip the script on them. Can we at least beat them and put them down farther in the cellar of the AC North? You had a prime opportunity to capitalize. You figure it at home. And I don't know what it is, but I told the fans in the stands sitting around me, including my dad, I was like, what is it about these Ravens? It's like, you know, long ago, they would win, what, most of their home games? I mean, I think it was 2011 was the last time they actually went 8-0 at home. And there was that home cooking, right? I mean, they still probably are in the top five of the NFL with a home record in the last decade, I'm sure, if we look it up. But the problem I have here is the home field advantage is gone. There's no more, you know, the false start effect. I mean, I was calling a few fans out here, right? But it's also the product on the field, right? You know, if they're not getting off the field on third down, which is a defense, if they're not executing – you know, it's really hard for us as fans getting into the game because it's just like, oh, my God, here we go again. But just flat out embarrassing, you know, from the defensive performance, I know that's going to be a bulk of the conversation. But the offense itself couldn't get going. I mean, when you go down 7-0, now granted, you know, they hung in there. It was a war of attrition, right? It was 10-7 at half. The Ravens kind of kept it close, but the offense really didn't have the playmaking, right? You didn't see Marquise Brown involved. Mark Ingram had a slow go on the ground. Even Lamar, it just didn't look like Lamar, right? Especially the Lamar of the first 2 weeks that we saw. And, you know, I'm not putting the Browns of the elite right now in the NFL, but, you know, did something change? Did the scheme change? And granted, the Browns, they're not the Browns of old, right? They're not the stinky team. Right now, the stinky team is the Bengals, but it's from the other Orange Ohio team or the Brown, or whatever you call them, Brown Orange, whatever. That other Ohio team is 0-4 right now, and they look anemic. But and besides the point there, the Ravens really laid a big fat egg in just typical Ravens fashion, right? Start 0-2, you're starting to believe, you hear Lamar Jackson MVP chatter, you hear him and Mahomes talked up, and then it's 2 weeks later, it's the Ravens are like an afterthought now. Now it's all Browns, and all Steelers won again. You're hearing all this chatter, and again, it's Brandon, it's early in the season, right? We're still tied for first. Granted, it's a half a game right now after 4 weeks because the Browns have that edge because they beat us. We get one more rematch, Christmas week in Cleveland, second to the last game. So, you know, in setting up this discussion tonight on these two opponents we have obviously just played the Browns. We have the Steelers on deck. The last two games of Steven season are away at Browns and at home against the Steelers. So it could come full circle, and right now it's a war. But focusing on Sunday's efforts, I just felt like it was a lackluster performance. It was embarrassing. I can pretty much use a thesaurus right now and look up every word in the book to describe them. Insert a word. I mean, I'm still at a loss because I'm like, really? That was just it was just awful, man. It was just a poor performance if I've ever seen one. This was probably, I don't know, I want to ask you, man, what do you think? Because I think this was one of the worst performances, and granted, this game was during the Super Bowl year. Remember the Flaccoing game against Denver where they just got waxed?
Yeah.
And then they still won the Super Bowl that year because the next team they played the Giants at home and locked the division up. It's just crazy to think about. That was on the hinges of a three-game losing streak. I remember that, and not to even add to this, but remember it was even worse for me because I went down to see my brother graduate college in Tennessee. I actually took a bus back early so I can make that game. I drove a bus all night from Knoxville, Tennessee. I rode a bus until the morning. I got off the bus in White Marsh, went right to tailgating. So it was a rough night for me. And then to come home and see that performance for me, myself as a fan, I was like, wow. So just me being excited all day, we had a great tailgate. And then just to go from that to, do you guys know the importance of this game? I just felt like the Ravens weren't hungry at all. And the Browns knew what was at stake. And they came to play. And the better team won. The better team handled it. And the Ravens just... they got work to do.
They definitely have work to do, and I don't know if this was one of the worst performances we've ever seen. I think it may be the worst thing we've ever seen. Not one of, but the worst games we've ever seen in Ravens franchise history. And, I mean, there were a lot of people that were seeing the Super Bowl after that Dolphins game, and I think those same people may have changed their mind this past week. But I want to talk about one player specifically. I hate when we target just one player, but let's talk a little bit about Earl Thomas here. The Ravens made history this past Sunday by allowing the longest run ever in Baltimore by Baltimore, and they let that go with Nick Chubb's 88-yard touchdown, and we saw Earl Thomas stop running and just let it happen. And he said, I knew it was going to happen. I didn't feel like pulling my hamstring, so he didn't go after him. Now, you and I always discuss the Ravens' way of thinking, the Ravens' way of doing things, giving 110%, you know, the way Ray Lewis kind of taught it was, you know, you got to give everything you have if you want that win. And then to hear Earl Thomas say that, it wasn't worth pulling my hamstring over. While, yeah, I agree, that's probably the best thing in the long run, but you're not giving 110%. I mean, you gave up that game already. You knew you weren't going to win, so you stopped trying. That doesn't sound like the Ravens' way of thinking to me.
No, you bring up a great point, and frankly, it really pissed me off as a fan because this, again, not to compare birds in sports here, but this reminds you of a former Oriole, Manny Machado. Remember the whole, I'm not Johnny Hustle? Yeah, come on. Like, yeah, we understand you get paid millions of dollars, you don't want to get hurt, but that effort did not scream play like a Raven. That effort didn't scream defense, you know, in Ravens folklore or even their history, right? It didn't scream effort. And frankly, if it was Ray and Ed Reed on this team, or even the late Ray Suggs, who's still currently playing for the Cardinals, I really feel like if they were on the team by any combination of those players, Earl would have taken a back seat and he would have had an earful from those guys. I mean, really, if this guy truly is a Hall of Fame talent, and he certainly is, has the resume and the pedigree, but it's just like Antonio Brown with his antics. Like when you play and act like all that, it just takes away from what you are and what you do on the field. And me, had high hopes for him. Now it's like, really? Like, does he? Now it poses the question, does he really fit in with the Ravens scheme? Because even after the Chiefs game, weren't the Ravens like doing this whole dance party? Did you see, you know, the videos, right? The dance party in the locker room. And right. So I thought the chemistry was good on this team. Like, all right, even though we're 2-1, and this was after week 3, right? You know, I still felt like the Ravens had that vibe, and a lot of us fans agreed, like, oh my God, the chemistry on this team, and, you know, they're one big close family, and then you see the effort there, and then this is what happens, right? You go, you know, when you lose, it's magnified. Now, if they'd have won, I don't think he would have made those comments, right? Or even if it was just one play out of that and we came back and won and didn't get blown out. But, you know, in retrospect, then it's even more magnified because apparently him and Brandon Williams had a few words in the locker room. So, you know, again, you know, I'm not going to, you know, fast forward to the Steelers game, but I've already said it's already this bad now with all this little tiny little things and strife going on. If they lose this Sunday coming up, I'm telling you what, Brandon, it's going to be a mutiny, dude, because you can't – it go from a 2-0 start to losing 3 straight, and that's just a scenario it could be. Oh, my goodness, you think it's bad now. There's going to be fire and brimstone and answers, but just to really focus on this Browns game, dude, you got to hand it to them. All week it was, you know, the Browns overhyped. It, you know, can we really damage their spirits? Can we really expose them? And they exposed us. I don't know if you saw the replay, and I shared it on my Twitter. I forget who shared it, so I'm not going to take credit. I found the video there. But the Nick Chubb run, the longest run that the Ravens have given up, which is uncharacteristic, right? Because how many times back in the Ravens' history did they have those streaks of not allowing a 100-yard rusher? Yeah. That was prideful. And now I just feel like gone are those days. But did you see how lost Tony Jefferson was on that play?
Yeah.
It's embarrassing, and that's what we're talking about. It was that exact play. Tony Jefferson was out of place, and then you have Earl Thomas supposedly pulling up. Like, I don't care. Like, and we talked about it, I think we talked about it briefly too, right? But I want to bring up the fact the whole Flaccoing game and the Denver Broncos game back in the Super Bowl year. You know, even though this, and I look at the effort that Joe did. Remember how Joe, even though he gave up the interception, tried to run him down at the end, and then that's where we get the whole Flaccoing from,
right,
where he was laid face down. That's the effort we're talking about. You know, there was a game where we, if you remember this playoff, I think it was a playoff game. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but it was a Steelers-Colts playoff game, I believe. And there was, Jerome Bettis fumbled it on the goal line. The Colts returned it, and Ben Roethlisberger was at midfield. He was the only player between the player and the end zone the other way, and Ben, like, kind of tripped him up, and he was the last guy. I mean, those are those Hall of Fame kind of plays. Those are those Pro Bowl and All-Pro kind of plays where it's like, you know, and Ray Lewis had him in his career where there was a guy running, and the guy – and Ray just ran him down and just – you know, there's those kind of plays that separate, and if the Ravens continue to play like that, it's really going to be exposed. And right now, I don't even know what to say. It was just embarrassing just to see that. And then also, you know, the offense couldn't get it going. Lamar looked a little off. He wasn't the same Lamar we're used to in these few weeks here and changing of the opinions, basically, like, okay, is he running quarterback? And, you know, Ingram couldn't run. The line looked horrible. Couldn't block for Lamar. He was running around for life and also getting sacked. No time, no rhythm. And that's what I said all Sunday. The offense couldn't get the rhythm. And then it kind of bleeded to the defense. The defense, I don't know. Apparently, they got so many communication problems. They need to call Verizon because it's bad. It's bad.
Do you think Lamar lost a little bit of confidence after losing to the Chiefs? Could that be why he had such an off day? Because we saw Lamar in these first couple games this season, and I mean, he looked like, you know, the future of the league. And then this past Sunday, is this just a bad day, or what do you think was going on with him?
If I only knew the answers. We only hope that it was just one bad day. I mean, we all have had them, right? We just had that one bad day, and we come back and take life by vengeance from the last day previous. I really, really hope it is that. And I've always said the NFL, it's one game, it's one week, it's week-to-week league. I mean, the Ravens could look so horrible this past weekend. They might come out the Steelers, and they might make, you know, everything. And I hate to use the past as a catalyst for what could be, right? It's just way too different teams, two different eras, but the Super Bowl year was kind of the same. And it was even on America's game, if I can echo what Ray said, it was the same way. The Ravens come out on the hinges of a three-game losing streak, playing like they did against Denver in 2012. You know, you're asking if they can right the ship or if this is just one week. If we remember that, do you remember the America's game that was put out, right, with Ray said to that game, if you recall? Now, the Ravens played so bad that game, but then they come out the following game, and like Ray alluded to, he was like, every tackle was made, and every pass was thrown, and every catch was made, and they won the AFC North that game. And speaking of the Giants against the Ravens in 2012, where they had that home game following that huge, embarrassing loss on the hinges of a three-game losing streak. So you fast forward to 2019, right, Brandon? It's not the same team. It's not the same situation, but it sort of is in a retrospect of it was a horrible performance, and you're asking, can they rebound, or is it going to be a continuation, or is it just one game? But, Brandon, they really have an issue here because I feel like it's further than just one or two players correcting fundamentals. This is a communication problem. I don't know what Martindale's doing as coordinator to fix it. I don't know if they have to have a sit down meeting, but it doesn't strike confidence in me that they can go out against a backup quarterback in Pittsburgh and get it done on Sunday because they let Baker. The only bright spot. And I'm telling you right now, give Marlon Humphrey all the game balls. The dude absolutely locked down Beckham, where I don't even think you heard his name apart from the little tussle they had. So, but on the other side of that, Landry and Nick Chubb had a career day. So three straight games of at least 300 yards passing. So it's a glaring weakness, which we thought heading into the season, right, in the preseason. Didn't we think that we had, even with Tavon Young being out, the best secondary in football?
It's an embarrassment. It is embarrassing. And you also want to bring up the fact that Baker Mayfield, he was only sacked once in this game. Just once.
No pressure
whatsoever. So this is definitely a question mark. It's a glaring question mark on the future for this this season for this team. What is this going to mean?
Have you chance to watch the Bears play yet?
I have not, no.
Oh, my God. Go back and look at their highlights from the last week. I mean, the Bears right now have basically the old-school Ravens defense. You talk about pressure. The Bears-Vikings highlights, Brandon, just watch them. I just take 2 minutes to watch them. You see Bears players in the backfield wrecking havoc. Kirk Cousins running for his life. Kirk Cousins getting sacked. That reminded me of how the Ravens used to play. I'm telling you right now.
It's Chuck, right? Chuck Pagano's their coach now, right?
Hey, is that a coincidence?
Yeah.
I mean, really? Is that a coincidence? I mean, just, again, look at that defense. I mean, granted, they got Roquan Smith and Khalil Mack. Khalil Mack could be a future Hall of Famer. He's done something for player in history. I think he just did a feat where he had like four fumbles and four. I have to go back. It's like 4-4. Like, he did something in four games, and he's like the first defensive player to ever do it in the first four games. So, but I'm just saying, you want to go back to defense? The Bears got a blueprint. So, and Chuck Pagano's at the helm of that. So I don't know what Martindale's got to fix, but I thought this Ravens defense was organized chaos. And to me, it is chaos, but it's not organized. It's dysfunctional, and they need to fix it fast because it's bleeding to the offense. Because the defense, what was more frustrating to me was, here's how the Ravens got behind the eight ball, right? They couldn't get off the field in the first quarter. The Ravens had a 3-and-out, which is not a great way to start. And then the defense was on the field the whole first quarter. That is a recipe for disaster. And how the Ravens formula, me and you talked about this a lot, right? Ball control, time on the clock, you know, turnovers. And speaking of that, Mark Ingram, man, coughing the ball up right there. We had the momentum driving, and they just coughed up the ball, and they go right down the field. And I don't know what point you were playing bowling versus watching the game, but when it was 24-18, right? And I know the Boo Birds are out when they line up for two, and Harbaugh did warn you guys he is going to be doing this. So if you don't like it, find another team to root for, because I'm tired of it. This is what he's going to be doing. You're not the coach. He is. And I haven't heard – Bashadi's not going to say nothing, right? So, and apparently it worked. And for the record, I was not booing because I understand it. And, again, you got to put up with it. You might not agree with it. You could boo all you want. But the Ravens did cash in on it, and it proved, because, again, it was a six-point game at that time. So apparently it didn't help. But I'm going to just put that out right there. I'm not going to argue about it with y'all. If you disagree with it, we agree to disagree. You can disagree with it. I'm not going to sit here and go over numbers and prove to you that you need to believe in it. I'm just saying, if you want to root for the Ravens, this is what we're going to be dealing with in 2019. So whether Harbaugh is 100% right or 100% wrong, he picks and chooses his spots. But at the moment, it was the right call, because instead of getting down, again, he's trying to stick it to him. And then the way the game was going, they needed a spark, and it worked. They ran it up the gut. Got to two. But Brandon, what I want to share that moment is, right after that, it was 24-18. 6-point game. The crowds, they played a video at the stadium. The crowd's into it. Every decibel counts. Everybody was on their feet. The stadium, it felt like a playoff atmosphere. We're up on our feet, even on first down, getting full throat. And all of a sudden, me and my dad see Nick Chubb running to us on the sideline, virtually untouched the whole way. And we just literally just at one collective row just sat right down, and the guy behind me bangs his chair, says a few choice words, but he goes, "You've got to be kidding me." And I'm like, I looked at my dad, looked all around, and I'm like, really? And it just, and then you just see stadium empty out. That was pure dejection. I felt the energy just rise. I thought the defense was going to feed off one and pin them back, stop them, and they whatever happened, and the Browns just took it to us. And I have to say, man, the Browns are dangerous. They got some players, and we better wake up, or the Browns actually might win this thing as far as the division is concerned. But man, that was a missed opportunity, huge.
Now, the Ravens put out an article saying, look, the Ravens are 2-2. This is not the time to panic. They're still number one, or at least tied for number one in the AFC North. So let me ask you, do you think this is a good time for Ravens fans to panic, or is this time to say, hey, everybody, calm down. It's a week-to-week season. We'll see what happens this week coming up. So what's your take? Is it time to panic, or is it still too early?
No, I'm going to say still too early, only because we only tied for first. If you look at this state of the AFC North, Bengals are 0-4 right now. Steelers did win on Monday night. They are 1-3, and the Ravens and Browns are 2-2. And granted, it is a first-place Browns currently because it is a half-a-game lead because they beat us on Sunday to tie us. So they have that tiebreaker head-to-head. But it's a virtual tie, right? I'm only going to say the panic button should be mashed, and we should start thinking about lifeboats like the Titanic. If the Ravens were to lose the Steelers on the road this Sunday, then I would say full panic move, because then you lost three straight. You're 3-2. And you could eventually go from first place to third place in division within 2 weeks. I know it was only week five, but just to put it in perspective, the Ravens have three straight divisions. Let's say if they do lose Sunday, just level with me here. The Browns play on Monday night this week against the Niners. So obviously we don't know what the Browns are going to do until after Sunday's aftermath. But I don't know who the Bengals play, but I can really care less at this point because they're 0-4 and we play them 2 weeks later. So even if they do win, they're still 1-4. But and if you can look it up for me, that'd be great. I don't know if you have access to it. But if the Ravens were to lose, that means they would be 2-3. Tied with the Steelers, and then they would be in third place because the Steelers already beat them with the head-to-head, and the Steelers would be 2-3. The Ravens would actually be in third place by half the game. Steelers would be in second because of the head-to-head win, and the Browns, it don't even matter what they do. Even if they were to lose on Monday night, they're still, it would be basically the Browns and Steelers tied, and the Ravens would be 2-3, technically in third place in the standings, and that would be three straight losses, and they would be 0-2 in the division. I would say at that point, Brandon, it is time to panic. If come 4 o'clock Sunday and there's a loss in Pittsburgh, we better find it really quickly, because it's going to be, oh my goodness, I can only imagine. Someone's going to be asking for some heads, but it just again week to week. But I'm not panicking right now. Apparently, Harbaugh was calm. Is the word on the street, and I saw the press conference and all that, and he wasn't his fiery self. He was calm, saying, you know what, we're going to fix it, but I need to see it, right? You can sit there and do coach speak all week, but if it's not evident, I was just almost wish. I know we as fans would never get insight to the practices, but it's like we almost wish their practices broadcast so we could see what's going on, because it's like I don't believe them, right? They could sit there and say you practice scheme all week, you got 1 week to prepare for an opponent, but if you play like that, and really, what's it all for? And it's just we understand we want to get their best performances every single time we go to a game or every time we watch them. We understand it might not be the case, but I just miss the accountability part, because instead of sitting there and Earl Thomas making excuses about what hamstring or what injury he might get, I don't care. There should be accountability. He should be like, no, I need to. You want to be a leader and come in here being a free agent. It's very, very, very bad on his part without saying a few bad choice words there. It's very bad on his part to come in there and act like that. So especially for free agent, it doesn't bode well for his veteran leadership. I'm going to tell you right now, and that's all I got to say about that. But dude, Brandon, I don't even know what else to say other than if it's not corrected on Sunday, yeah, it's going to get really bad. Ugly.
So the Bengals are up against the Cardinals this Sunday. So,
ooh, and the Cardinals are winless too.
Yeah. So
again, so the Bengals to play another winless team. Cardinals are 0-3-1.
All right. So let's move on to our Sunday. If you're done with this this terrible game against the Browns.
Oh yeah, the red eye review is in the rear view, I think. But in loss and all this chaos, we cannot forget, dude. It's one of the best weeks in Ravens season. It's Steeler week. We can't forget that. It's Steeler week here in Baltimore. Maybe because we played horrible on Sunday, maybe because Big Ben's out for the year, but fellas, ladies and gentlemen, oh my gosh, it's Steeler week. We got to get back to that. It's Steeler week, and we love to hate these guys.
That's right.
It's in Pittsburgh.
It is Steeler week. It's in Pittsburgh. And like you said, no Big Ben. What does this mean for the Ravens this week, because you automatically you think backup QB, it's going to be easy pickings, but you know, they got their first win this past week, but still, this guy isn't bad, but he's no Big Ben. What is this team going to do to prepare for this new QB that they have not met before?
Well, what are they going to do to prepare? I hope they prepare at all, especially after last Sunday. It's going to be tough, right? Because the game film is very, very, very short on this guy. It's almost like how Lamar is now and last year, because we only see a little bit of game film on him. He's only started a handful of games this year. He got his first win on Monday night in the 27-3 win. His name's Mason Rudolph, for all those who don't know. You know, he was waiting in the wings with Ben. As an understudy, he was drafted accordingly in the high rounds there. And I really feel like the Ravens really need to understand what he's about, what his tendencies are, what his weaknesses are, and what his strengths are. Be honest with you, I've only got a small sample size as well. I personally like the kid's poise. He came in, he fell short a few games here, and then they finally got the win against the Bengals on Monday. I think the guy's ready and stepping up. I don't think he's done bad. It seems like with these backups this year, everybody writes his teams off, and then everybody just seems winning. I mean, Eli Manning gets benched in New York for Dan Jones. Dan Jones starts winning. You know, Cam Newton gets injured, goes out. The Panthers are winning. Still, they're winning games. Drew Brees goes out. Saints on Sunday football against the Cowboys are undefeated. No big problem. They win. So it seems like no matter what, it's the year of the backup. How about the Jaguars backup, Minshew? It's Minshew mania, apparently, down in south of us, but North Florida. You know, the backups, this is the year to back up. And, you know, and it could spell bad for the Ravens because they're so used to Big Ben's tendencies. Now, without him out there, it's a younger, fresher quarterback. And I feel like this actually hurts the Ravens because the way they're playing right now, I could use a slow Big Ben out there for the Ravens to play against to make us feel good, right? But hey, granted, even if it was a slow Big Ben, he's still Big Ben and makes those plays. But with Mason Rudolph, I felt like this team has a new energy to him, even though they got their first win in week four. They're still dangerous. They still got James Conner. They still got Juju out there. They got good crop of offense, right? They're there, and they're still the Steelers, and no matter who's a quarterback, I still feel like this team is dangerous, and the Ravens, if they don't wake up and bring their pretty sharpest A game on the road, because if they bring the same game that they had in Baltimore, it's going to be a victory day in Pittsburgh for the home team, and that's not going to spell any good for Baltimore, and we really need to beat our bitter rivals here. You know, Cleveland got us. They got us pretty good. The Ravens need to just sharpen it up and say, you know what, we're going on the road in enemy territory. It's Steelers week. We need to come out there and smack them. And the Steelers defense is their weak link, I feel like. I feel like the Ravens could really find their footing offensively on the road. I feel like and this is my prediction here, I think bold prediction, Ravens offense has a way better day than the last few weeks here. I think the Steelers defense is going to get them on track. But I feel like right now the X factor is going to be Mason Rudolph and that Ravens defense. The Ravens defense, if they can really hone in and get these communications, it's not going to be all fixed, right? But if they can get some form of a patch on things and stop the bleeding per se, it could be a winning formula. But, dude, it's almost like I don't even want to – I'm not going to go into my predictions just yet as we break this down, but you know, it's almost like I even hate to predict this because it's just like the way they've been playing. It's like you kind of want to pick them to lose because it's like, you know, show me what you've done. But then it's like, you know, what better than a dog in the corner on the road, right? You need to win. And I feel like this is a must win in Pittsburgh on Sunday because, again, looking at the scenario, it is not good for the Ravens playoff chances if they were to fall to Pittsburgh, I don't think. I mean, it was funny, you know, how the percentages changed week to week. If you looked at it, Ravens were 2-0, and it was 84% chance of winning division, making the playoffs, and then now losing two straight on the hinges of this game. Who knows what those chances are right now and what the other teams do. So the Ravens had a lot of work to do, and stopping James Conner and Juju. I think Marlon Humphrey, I think it remains to be said, right? I don't think for one second he's not going to be on Juju Smith-Schuster the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, that's got to happen. I mean, you lock him down, stopping the runs regardless, because I felt like with the Browns, that set it up because the Ravens could have probably loaded the box, had miscommunication issues in the secondary, and just let the receivers run. And Marlon did a great job of shutting down Odell Beckham. And I feel like Marlon's going to do a great job of shutting down Schuster. And that's the game plan, shut him down. Ravens need to hone in on it. But did you know who's just released this week?
Yeah, I saw Tim Williams was released.
Yeah, so the Ravens aren't playing around. They're already did not Harbaugh kind of speak to this 2 weeks ago? He called out Tim Williams and Tyus Bowser, said someone needs to step up there, and apparently we know who did and who didn't because someone's not on the team anymore. And the Ravens aren't playing around. And they hired, I think they just employed the services of, what is this, O.J. Fort from the previous Eagles. So they brought in an inside linebacker. So the Ravens aren't playing around. They're making moves. They're trying to right the ship. But right now, again, I don't know anything new about this guy. I have to read up on him. I know the transaction is fresh just yesterday. I look at it this way. The Ravens are letting go Tim Williams, bring him in. Let's see what he's got. And the Ravens, I'm fully on board with their moves, but remains to be seen if this is going to be a good one in the long run. The jury's still out on that.
Let me ask you this, just a general feeling of this week. I mean, you brought it up. It's Steeler Hate Week. It's something that the fans look forward to all year long when the schedule comes out. It's when are these two teams going to meet? Normally, it's in prime time. This is a 1 o'clock game. But with the changing of the guard, with no Terrell Suggs, with no Joe Flacco, no Ray Lewis, he hasn't been there for a while, but does this rivalry mean as much as it did just a few years ago? We have Lamar Jackson as our quarterback. We have a lot of rookies on this team. I mean, the reputation is there, but are these players going in thinking, it's Pittsburgh, we're going to get them, they're our rival? Or is this just another game to a lot of these younger players? You got guys like Hollywood Brown coming into this, and, it was always, both defenses were the game was won in the trenches, but we're seeing football become a little bit more flashier, and that's not really what was built on this rivalry.
Yeah, it's a great question, great point to bring up. I think the players really know what's at stake. The new players still need to get used to that Ravens rivalry. And I think it was said when Eric Weddle was on the team when he first played here in year one of his tenure, it was, he was interviewed about that, say his first taste of Steeler League. But he, I think it was put out there that you don't earn your kind of Ravens wings. You're not really a true Raven until you had got that Pittsburgh Ravens bout off your, and marked it off. Like, okay, we played in that game, or you went to Pittsburgh, and whether you won or lost the game is a different story, but you got a taste of that rivalry, and you're not really truly fully grown and got your Ravens, wings. All pun intended there, but I really feel like the veterans who are left on this team, it's not the same Ravens and Steelers of old. You don't have those players, right? Ed Reed, Hines Ward, Joey Porter, name them all, man. Ray Lewis, Rashard Mendenhall, Big Ben, Heath Miller, Ryan Clark. I mean, you remember it was just those slobber knockers. Remember that playoff games, mm-hmm. Clark hitting McGahee, Torrey Smith catching the game winner, Houston Mazada game winner, Flacco leading the team down the field with the last drive. Who can forget that 96-yard game winning drive? Torrey Smith was fantastic. Those classic Ravens Steeler bouts, man, and it's a changing of the guard, right? Because we have the young talent with us, Lamar, Justice Hill, Miles Boykin,
right.
Marquise Brown, and then now you have the backup Mason Rudolph in there. This is going to be his first Ravens Steeler game, and I feel like the players know, right? You're taught that when you come in here in Baltimore, hey, you hate the Steelers, right? You it's just in your blood. So, and if you've never played in the AFC conference or don't know what it's about, it's just like something you just have to turn on right away, like. You're a Raven now. You're going to hate these guys. I feel like it's going to be that rivalry nude. I don't think it's going to lose. I think to a point it does lose its luster because the old school players are gone. But that's always going to be there, right? It's almost like if you look at the old, all the rivalries in sports, like the Red Sox and Yankees, man, it's the same thing with the old Yankees and Red Sox. Like, okay, is it the same with, you know, Pedro and Jason Veritek and A-Rod and Jeter and Clemens? And, you know, but it's still, for baseball fans and those kind of fans, it's still Yankees Red Sox. That rivalry is always going to be there. And, you know, and I feel like with Ravens Steelers, no matter who's playing it, years from now, this week, the end of the year, it's still, for me, it's always going to be Steeler Hate Week. I love to hate this team, and they're on our way. And, dude, I mean, I don't even know right now, but I'm looking at a tape measure and you're on FaceTime, you can probably see this stuff, but, like, I'm looking at tools that are Steelers colors right now. I need to, like, get them away. I mean, just anything black and yellow in my sight, I just get angry. Like, get away. So, to me, it's always going to be a rivalry. The players need to understand it. They need to feel it. And they better feel it on Sunday, because I'm going to stick my neck out on the line. I feel like the Ravens are going to get this low-scoring game on Sunday at a prediction of 17-10. I think their offense finds their footing, but I don't think it's going to be as high-scoring as people think. I really feel like this is going to be one of those AFC North battles. It's not going to be what we saw Sunday where it's going to be. But in retrospect, it's almost like I really want to change that, because even talking out loud, it's like, well, the Ravens have given up three straight 300-yard passes. Our defense is a mess. How are they going to give up only 10 points, especially on the road? So I almost want to change that. But, thinking about that, I'm actually going to do that. I'm actually going to predict that it's going to be a higher scoring than a lower scoring because of the – number one, what's at stake, but the changing of the guard, the way the Ravens are playing, the young talent, the young fusion. I feel like the Ravens offense is going to show. I'm actually going to put myself out there at a 28-24 Raven victory on the road here. A little bit higher scoring than anticipated. So I do take my previous score back. Just thinking about it, talking out loud with you. I think the Ravens, again, I'm going to put it out to this. I think Mason Rudolph does have a good day. He throws for other 300 yards, so the Ravens will let their fourth passer in a row throw for 300 yards. I feel like the Ravens don't get it all right on defense, but they do just enough on offense to keep them out of reach. And I feel like at the end of the day, Mason Rudolph and the Steelers fall short at home, and the Ravens clip them on the road and get back over 500 at 3-2 record.
Well, I've been predicting the last couple of weeks low scoring games, and I've been absolutely and totally wrong. So I feel wrong not picking the Ravens and during a Ravens-Steelers rivalry week. So I have to pick the Ravens to win this one as well. And I got to go, man, say 32-28. I think that'll work.
What team? Ravens victory?
Ravens victory. It's going to be close, and I'm hoping and I feel as if this is going to be the Lamar show. This really will be the make or break moment for him. A lot of people, you know, last year were discussing, is he the guy? We saw him against the Dolphins. Yeah, he looked like the guy. And then he was up against Mahomes and then Baker Mayfield. And it was a lot of questions. Do we panic now? Did we make the right move?
So do you go a step further and say that he leads the game winning drive to get the lead for the Ravens for good?
Yes, absolutely.
I like that scenario, man. Dude, I hope it's not like Ravens Steelers games of the past, especially the one we watched together on Christmas night, man.
Duh.
I hope it's not one of these, like, we got it, and then we don't. Because I tell you right now, if the defense is on the field last, we're going to have a big L. Big L. The Ravens need to close out. Like my dad always said, if you close out with your offense on the field, that means, number one, you had a good game, but that's the way to close it. You don't want the other team trying to score, especially if it's a close game, one possession or less. You do not want them to try to win it. How many times do we need to say this? You know, you want to close out the game on your offense on the field because you want to keep it out of their hands, because what if you have to prevent them from winning it? That's going to be a tough task. I'd rather prevent them from winning it with our offense on the field and keeping the clock running, getting a first down, making them use their timeouts if it's going to be a close game. I'm telling you, if this is going to be one of those frightful nights or frightful afternoons, we should say at this point, if it's a close game and it's under 2 minutes and we have to hold Mason Rudolph at bay for a field goal attempt or a touchdown, I don't like our chances because this defense ain't showing me nothing. But letting up big pass plays and the big plays. We lost that in translation there, but how many times, and that was the case of the game leading up, even the national media covered that, even the local media said the Ravens' Achilles heel has been big plays. They let up big play after big play. Sure, they let the big play with Nick Chubb, they let the big play with Jarvis Landry get loose. They showed piss poor tackling, fundamental technique. You can't shoulder tackle. This Tony Jefferson, he's got to stop. He's playing horrible. He's a liability. You know, from misreading the run to trying to, you don't shoulder tackle in the NFL. You lean in with your shoulder. You know, I don't care about this head crown stuff. You know what? Don't leave launch with your head. You'll be fine. You know, shoulder tackle, wrap him up. I don't know if they got to go back to what they're doing in drills, but I don't care if they're millionaires or not. They need tackling drills, it seems like, because they don't know how to tackle in the NFL. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but I felt the need to really go there because it's just been bothering me and just thinking about Jefferson and all that. And then with the combination of Earl Thomas, dude, it's makes me want to throw up. It's ugly, man. They need to get it fixed.
They do
just,
need to get it
fixed.
Just play
a little bit better. Just play better.
Yeah, they do need to get this fixed, and hopefully a win over the Pittsburgh Steelers will be just the medicine that they asked for. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call this week?
And I feel like I was chasing out Nick Chubb. No, I'm good. I'm good if you're good. I'm going to give a heartbeat. Quote the Raven, nevermore. But I do have a question for you, man. We turned the calendar. It's October, my favorite month. Obviously, it's my birthday month.
Yeah.
Question for you. Candy corn, yay or nay?
Oh, I love candy corn.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I feel like I'm the only one on earth who does. I bought 3 bags full from the store the other day, and I'm ready for this month, man. You know, I love candy corn. I get the whole medley. I'm actually, I got one right now. See?
Oh, there you go. I love it. Yeah. The little mallow cream pumpkins. Those are amazing.
Right here?
Yes, those things are amazing.
Oh, they're say me and you. Yeah, there you go. Virtual fist pump. There you go.
Boom, boom.
So you get it. You reminds me of every time I think about you in this month, because I know this is one of your favorite times of year.
Yeah.
I think of the gift where you got the dancing pumpkin head guy. Yeah, that's my favorite one where he's like, it's weird.
Well, let me tell you, in between work and this podcast, I got out all of my Halloween decorations and decorated the outside of my house.
I still
got
to get you your raven, man.
Yeah, that's definitely going to.
Because I don't want this month to go by. It would add to your decorations there.
That's true. It would. I think that's something that probably would stay out all year, but
yeah.
I'd still want to get that from you.
We'll talk off air. We'll talk scheduling. I need to get that raven to you quickly.
Yeah.
Has your name on here.
All right. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
They can tweet to me at ItalianGQ52, and I promise you it's easier than trying to play defense for the Ravens.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know. So
yeah.
Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, we're always sharing all kinds of fun stuff. If you followed along with us on Sunday, you would have seen the bowling alley from Alley Oops that I was bowling at during the game. And you never know when one of us is going to hop on Facebook Live and share something with you. So make sure you like us over there on Facebook. Now we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so very much. But in loss in translation of all this, I do want to close out the show in great emotional fashion, if I may, man. Remember how the previous show, and I kind of prerequisited that by saying that one of my best friends handled the assignment of the flyover?
Right, yeah.
Dude, I'm telling you what, I don't even care about the game, but I'm telling you what, the pictures and video I got, I think I've shared some. If not, I'm going to put some on more on the Call Facebook page. I know Chris shared some of the images with the flyover for the dry run, but he got the assignment. My buddy Chris Hoffman, him and his unit got the assignment for the flyover for the Blackhawks. You know, when they, you know, flew overhead, and I got the video of it when we were doing the anthem. I'm not going to lie, man. It just was a proud moment, me knowing not only for him and his comrades of their service for our country, but just knowing that he's one of my best friends, and I was happy for him, knowing how excited and emotional this was for him. I was a little teary-eyed, man. And it just sucked for me, too, as the game went on, because I'm like, I know he wanted to win. He wanted the dub and all that, but just the special moment of him flying right over in the helicopter, knowing that he was piloting that, knowing what he was probably going through. He actually texted me that morning saying he was nervous and adrenaline rush and all that, because he's like, I hope we do good. And I kind of joked with him. I said, just don't crash the sucker in the stadium. We'll be fine. And so, but yeah, he just knew I was making fun of him at that point. But I told him, he said, dude, you're going to be fine. You'll be great. Just like any normal flight. They nailed it. Couldn't have been more proud of him. His family was waving their American flag to the sections next to me. And just knowing that he was up there doing that, and what a proud moment of his career, right? And him being a fan, lifelong fan of this team, could be more proud of him. If anybody is friends with him on Facebook and know who he is, I'm not just drop by him a note, you know, thank him for his service. I certainly do. It was great to see him recognized on the field. And actually, you know, they had him on the sideline. He got to watch some of the series there on the sideline before being recognized. So shout out to my buddy Chris as a special treat for the call. I wouldn't been able to get him on the show tonight, but what I'm going to be doing with him is later in this week is going to be doing a Facebook Live to get his raw reaction of the moment and capturing all that, and just the because again, you know, how is it every day that we get to know one of these guys, our men in service, women out there who get this assignment? And I know it's a special moment for all sports. Whether it's a helicopter or a plane flyover, the flyover, and even Chad Steele, the Ravens, he actually put out there, he goes, first and foremost, that flyover, wow, like he was impressed with it. And a lot of great pictures and video were taken. They flew really low. It was just awesome. You can hear him in the distance, and then just him flying over. It was some of the special moment I could ever remember for the rest of my life. So I'm really happy that I was in the stadium present, sharing that moment. My dad was present, was even better. You know, him knowing what was going on, he got great video of it too. So I just wanted to really hone in on that. That I know we started off Lost in Translation. I don't want to ever forget that. That moment is just forever, and I really can't fathom how great of an opportunity it was for him. So I'm very excited for him. Hope everybody is too. I know. It started off great on the note like that, right? And then just what a letdown for the Ravens. I just wish it was better, right? We all wish it was better. You know, the execution wasn't there. Through thick and thin, we never waver. But there's sometimes where this team just – the performance is flat and embarrassing, where you're just like – you almost want to just take that one moment. You just want to take off your jersey. You want to throw it in the hamper and go, why? Why am I a fan? But – you know, we do it, right? We love this team through thick and thin. Why? Because we know the good times are going to come with the bad. There are going to be down times. There are going to be ugly times. But, hey, you can never forget. The Ravens have two Super Bowl trophies. We have endless Hall of Famers. We have some good history here. And I know it's just 1 week, one game. But we do understand that the Ravens don't get it fixed. It is going to be some dire straits this season. It's going to be a really, really long season ahead for the Ravens. So, you know, got to lick our wounds, got to heal it up. You know, we as fans, I know the dub was – we wanted that dub so bad. And taking advantage of that with the Browns and really putting them away early didn't happen. But, like me and Brandon discussed, it's still a week in Baltimore. Everybody get fired up. It's that team we always love to hate. We're going to Pittsburgh, enemy territory, Sunday at 1, Heinz Field. Love to hate this team. I don't care who's lined up for him. I don't care if it's Ben. I don't care if it's his brother, sister. I don't care. You know, we got to really take advantage of this opportunity that's ahead of us right now. We beat this team, get back on the right side of 500. Who's with me? I knew a few select brave souls who are going to Pittsburgh, rooting this team hard, Chris included. So I'm very excited for that. I will not be present. It is my birthday weekend. I would love to go to the game with y'all. I'm not going to be able to do that. I got festivities, but I'll be with y'all in spirit and be rooting hard. Who knows? I might be even bowling during a game with Brandon. I don't know. Might get that bad. That's not a bad idea, right? But that'll be something new. Ever comes to that point where I'm bowling during a game, you know times are changing, right? So, Brandon, I don't know if you ever get to me to bowl with you on a Sunday during a game, but if it happens, that would be a pretty crazy accomplishment. But with that being said, let's get after the stinking Steelers, shall we? Baltimore Ravens. We're going into Heinz Field, and you know what we're going to do? I don't care regardless how we play. We're going to fly high. How's that?
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to brandocash.com.